We know things are not getting any better out in the world. I pray you, Lord, please, for your presence and your touch upon each one of us this morning. Thank you for loving us. Please be with our brothers and sisters, wherever they might be in the world, gathering together to praise you and to worship you. For those, Lord, that can't be bothered, I pray you'd light a fire under them, Lord. For those that are sick, Lord, I pray that you would raise them up. For those, Lord, that have wandered away, please draw them back. And Lord, we're just looking forward to a wee bit of time in your presence. Love you and thank you. We pray all this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Right. And number 301 will be our first hymn of the morning. 301 is the sweet hour of prayer. You might be relieved to know I'll not be taking an hour in prayer this morning, but you can certainly sing it.
Praise all the day long, praise. morning reading is from the book of Colossians, Colossians 2. The book of Paul, the Apostle to the Colossians, chapter 2. For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and of the all riches of the full assurance of understanding to the knowledge, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ, that ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein in thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you with philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. In him also ye are circumcised, with the circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of the sin of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And ye be dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. And having spoiled principalities and power, he made a show of them, openly triumphing over them. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink, or in respect of any holy day, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humanity and worshipping of angels, including into those things which he has not seen plainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. And not holding the head from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment ministered and knit together, increases with the increase of God. Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are ye subject to ordinance? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using, after the commandments and doctrines of men, which things have indeed a show of wisdom in world worship and humility and neglecting of the body, not in any honour to the satisfying of the flesh. Amen.
Just want to remind everybody to make sure you get one of those little pink prayer lists. And I'm assuming everything went well, to the best of my knowledge, with Sam and Louise travelling to visit with Pat and Steve. Please do continue to pray for Pat and Steve. Various health issues. We miss Will and his mum. Number three Blackburn Crescent still has the plague on it. They have them, probably have those three circles on the doors. Please do pray for them. Mary Ann seems to be coming along rightly from her surgery on her knee. So just do please continue to pray for Mary Ann as well. Pray for Charlotte, for Colin, for Pat and Steve, for Will and Christine, for Frank as well. Pray for Norma and Lane. I'm sure you guys both have things going on that need prayer as well. I certainly do. I'm going to appreciate your prayers as well. I know sometimes it's very, with the way things have been the past few years, it's very easy to get caught up in yourself. Don't forget to pray for other people too. Whenever you're told for 2 years or 3.5 years to don't have anything to do with anybody else and it's all about you and your health and this, that and the other, sometimes it can be hard to break out of that again, so please do pray for folks. And do pray as well, because I don't know if you've noticed, but monkeypox has started to make its way into the news. There's been no mention of anything, but you can be sure as shooting that they're going to start their carry on again. So please do pray about that. Pray for each other's health and look after yourself. Pray for Dr. Shine. He had a little bit of I don't know if health scare would be the right word, but he was concerned enough to be up in accident emergency last week. Please do pray for him and for Lynn as well. It's when one person in the family is not well, everybody feels it. I know Monica did when I wasn't well. I'm sure she has a lot to pray about whenever it comes to praying for me. So please do pray about that. For private prayer requests, I have myself and Lynn, Pat and Steve. Well, Norman, still private prayer requests, Norman, Lynn? Yeah, grand job. All right. There you go. We'll have a word of prayer and then we'll go on. Let's pray. Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, again for life and health and strength. Pray for your good hand upon us, Lord, as we take this time in your presence. That's our shop on this time, Father. We do have a bunch of stuff we want to bring before you and stuff we want to thank you for as well. Thank you, Lord, first of all, that we live in Northern Ireland, and spiritually speaking, it's just not as bad as the rest of the world, but that's like saying an apple has only one big bruise on it instead of rotting the whole way through. You know, it's a sign that things are just not going the best. And I pray especially for our leaders in our country, Lord. Whoever's holding a pillar in this island, Father, I pray that you would greatly impress upon them the need to be saying and doing the right thing. Oppose them, Lord, where they do wrong things. And the same for the leaders of Russia and China and America and Australia and Europe and Canada and South America, Lord, you know. We certainly, Lord, in these dark days, we certainly need your hand upon everybody. Father, I pray as well for those that aren't here. And you know the reasons why. And I pray, Lord, that you would meet everybody at the point of their need this day. For those that, Lord, that are meeting together across the country and even across the world, Lord, to worship and praise, I pray, Father, please, that you would bless and honour and minister to each one of us. Do indeed thank you, Lord, for your long-suffering and your patience. And, Lord, I pray that you would entertain, please, our private prayer requests and our petitions. I pray for Dr. Shine and his health, and Pat and Steve as well, and myself too, for Christine, for Mary Ann, for Will, and for those that aren't here, Lord, for the multitude of silly reasons that they have. And not just here, Lord, but around the world. Waking people up, Lord, and help us to see. We love you and thank you. Pray all this, Lord, and we create your presence. Sunday morning, and we ask it in the name of your Son Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's sing another song, one that's not as hard to sing or not as you. Hymn number 29 in the wee black books, if you'd like to take and turn there. Hymn number 29 is Precious Lord, Take My Hand. Hymn number 29. Thank you very much. I know many times whenever I look at the hymns and the hymn books, if there's four verses in it, or maybe five, I'll tend to skip over them and look for the three-verse ones because it seems to go that little bit more urgently. Is that the word? Punctually? I'm not sure, but some of those songs need four verses. Amen. Right, one more hymn, and then we'll open our Bibles this morning. If you'd like to take and turn to 150. 150 in the big books. My faith is found a resting place. Working on the roof, we ended up pulling off a lot of little plastic caps, and every rivet that came out had two big bits of plastic. We couldn't get them off, but we found even more of them down at the bottom of the drains this morning. That rain did a powerful job. Anyway, glad to see you here. That's how we read in Mark chapter 8, beginning at verse number 1. This is what the Word of God says. In those days, the multitude being very great, and having nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples and saith unto them, Have compassion on the multitude, because they have now been with me 3 days, and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away fasting to their own houses, they will faint by the way, for divers of them have come far. And his disciple answered him, From whence can a man satisfy these men with bread here in the wilderness? And he asked them, How many loaves have you? And they said, 7. And he commanded the people to sit down on the ground, and he took the 7 loaves and gave thanks and brake, and gave to his disciples to set before them. And they did set them before the people. And they had a few small fishes, and he blessed and commanded to set them also before them. So they did eat, and were filled, and they took up of the broken meat that was left 7 baskets. And they that had eaten were about 4,000, and he sent them away. And straightway he entered into a ship with his disciples, and they came unto the parts of Dalmanutha. And the Pharisees came forth and began to question with him, seeking of him a sign from heaven, tempting him. And he sighed deeply in his spirit, and sympathized with him. Whenever you have to sigh deeply sometimes. And he sighed deeply in his spirit and said, Why doth this generation seek after a sign? Verily I say unto you, there shall no sign be given unto this generation. And he left them, and entering into the ship, again departed to the other side. Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread, neither had they in the ship with them more than 1 loaf. And he charged them, saying, Take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, It is because we have no bread. And when Jesus knew it, he saith unto them, Why reason ye because ye have no bread? Perceive ye not yet, neither understand? Have ye your hearts yet hardened? Having eyes, see ye not, and having ears, hear ye not, and do ye not remember? When I break the 5 loaves among 5,000, how many baskets of fragments took ye up? And they say unto him, 12. And when the 7 among 4,000, how many baskets full of fragments took ye up? And they said, 7. And he said unto them, How is it that you do not understand? We're stopping there. And we are going to take verses 19 and 20 as our text. And I'll bring you a few thoughts about on the subject of every day of every week of every month. Amen. Let's have a quick, brief word of prayer. And then we will get stuck right again. Heavenly Father, thank you again for this little bit of time. I pray that you'd be with us and help me to say the right words, Lord, and help them to find a place in all of our hearts, and the hearts of those that are joining us on the internet, whether it's today or whether it's a year or even 10 years from now. I pray you please, Father, that you would use this time to enlighten us and to edify us. We indeed thank you for all that you've done for us, most especially for not just the sacrifice of your Son, Christ Jesus, but the sacrifices that you make even now for us, Lord, in your time and your consideration and your provision of us. Please bless this time, Father, I pray, and be one of our number. And be with our brothers and sisters, wherever they might be, and please supply their needs. We love you and praise you, and we ask all this, Lord. And we're not forgetting our neighbors, Stephen and Anne-Marie and Carol and Marie and Harry. For Corey and Jane, for Michael and his family, for Norman and Joe, and for Henry and Evelyn, Lord. Please, I pray, to save souls. Please also, Lord, put your good hand upon the preparations for the rededication service, and Lord, this up and coming Thursday and Friday with my dad. Love you and praise you. We leave these things to your feet. Pray that you would grant them according to your word. Amen. Amen. Yeah. time before this in the chronology of the life and times of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word of God in Matthew chapter 4, speaking of our very real spiritual needs, related a little bit of the interactions between Jesus and the devil. And this particular one, we're speaking about bread, so we're talking about the first of the temptations of the Lord that is noted. And I'll just read it. It says, when Jesus was led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil, and when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, it is written, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. In other words, in the same way that we eat every day to keep these physical bodies going and give them everything they need, their meat and potatoes and vegetable or fish or chicken or whatever it is that they take, we also need a little bit of food for our souls. And this is what the Lord was saying to the devil. Yes, you can exist just by eating and drinking, but you cannot live without the Word of God. And this is a constant message that the Lord brought to the people that hung about and listened to him and watched his miracles and saw the things that he even participated in. Because, believe it or not, Christianity is a participation sport. In the same way that, and Norma and I had now a discussion over our breakfast, not over our breakfast, but about our breakfast, and having a bit of a chuckle at people that have a bowl of cornflakes and expect to go out and do a day's work, when between the two of us we'd probably demolish the farmyard, the chickens and the pigs and whatever else might be out there. In the same way that our bodies need those things to give them fuel and the ability to repair themselves, so do our souls need to be fed and watered, even repaired and sustained through the days, through each day. Now, it's not very often I like to use Coke in a positive light, and I still wouldn't, but Coke has been using this principle for more than 100 years. They know that if people know about Coke, people are going to buy Coke. And that's not a new principle. The devil used it in the Old Testament. The Lord has been using it for thousands of years. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And when it comes to picking a washing up powder, or a lemonade, or your bread, or whatever, people will tend to go with the one that they have the most, in quotes, faith in, the one that they have heard the most about. Whether it's politics, opinions, standards, for good and bad, and even the Word of God, this is pumped at us continually. A lot of it is not good, especially in these days. But especially when it comes to the Word of God, we most certainly need to hear a little bit more of it. Someone once said that the Word of God is not cake for a special occasion, but it's bread for everyday use. When I was growing up, and Sunday dinners used to be a joint of pork or a joint of beef or a joint of lamb and some roast potatoes and maybe a bit of mash from time to time and two veg, cauliflower with cheese sauce over it. The great thing about Sunday in my house was there was always a rhubarb tart or an apple tart. There was a sweet to be had after dinner, and then there was pie to be had after tea once a week, and I look forward to that every week. However, that wasn't the only time in the week that I actually ate. I ate on the other 6 days in the week as well, and probably just as much. As we look, well, let's have a look here first. Let's read verses 19 and 20. This is the little portion of scripture where the Lord is speaking to his disciples about the two instances where he fed the 5,000 men and the 4,000 men and women and children. And it says, and the Lord speaking to them says, when I break the 5 loaves among the 5,000, how many baskets of fragments took ye up? And they said unto him, 12. And when the 7 among the 4,000, how many baskets of fragments took ye up? And they said, 7. When you look at, maybe in a little bit more detail, not this 2-verse summary of these miracles, you'll see certain things that happen. And the start of it was people heard about Jesus. And some might even have seen him at work, changing people's lives, raising them from the dead, casting out demons, making blind people to see. And so they followed Jesus. And pretty much wherever he went, in this case, into the wilderness, and stayed with him for 3 days, listening to him. And they weren't worried about hitting 12 o'clock or 12:30 and then quitting. My goodness, preacher went on today, spoke for 31 minutes. People tend to forget that maybe just even 50 or 60 years ago, a sermon was only getting maybe warmed up after 31 minutes. And people didn't seem to get too bent out of shape about it because they didn't have the world, the flesh, and the devil clamoring for their attention and making them believe they needed to get onto YouTube to find the latest this, that, or the other, or on Facebook, WhatsApp, Snapchat, or whatever, Twitter, whatever else is out there. People actually stopped and let God minister to them. So they listened and they followed. But there can come a time, even as the Lord was ministering to them, that they needed food. And we see that the Lord was sympathetic towards people's natural needs. And he made provision for them. In this case, he made miraculous provision for them in taking a couple of packed lunches or maybe a couple of bits of leftover food and presenting them to them and said, this is all that we have. Lord, can you do something with that? And we know the story that the Lord blessed the food and gave it to the disciples and the disciples passed it out to the people. We see in both these times you had a couple of believers that dedicated what they had to God, and God did something amazing with them. And everybody got fed. And the first time we see that there were 12 baskets of leftovers. And the numbers are important. And I got to thinking, what's the significance of the 12 and what's the significance of the 7 and the 12 baskets in this case? I like to liken unto the 12 months of the year. And the second time when he was feeding the 4,000, there were 7 baskets left, and I would like to liken them to the 7 days in the week, hence the title, every day of every week of every month of every year. And again, I was thinking about the way a lot of people treat God and his word and their duties to him in these days. And they think that God is only for when children need to be baptized or whatever it is they call sprinkling children. Whenever people need to get married and whenever people step off into eternity. Otherwise, most folks go about this world excluding God from any part of their lives. And then they wonder why, Christians especially, why are my prayers not answered? Why do I have no strength? Why does it always seem like I am coming up against a brick wall? I am always fighting on the back foot. And then I got to thinking about 2 Samuel, where the psalmist said, By my God have I leaped over a wall and run through a troop. But I can take you to the doors of Christians whose lives would not be pleasing to God one little bit. In fact, and I'm not even talking about the imperfection of God's children because we are imperfect. I am talking about people that are out and out rebellious and disobedient who claim to love the Lord. And their lives are train wrecks. They don't add up. And God doesn't want that for us. That doesn't mean that God is going to give us everything that we want just because we want it and we can live our lives whatever way we like, it means that we should really change our lives. I think sometimes whenever the Bible says things like that the children of the world in this age are wiser than the children of God, is because a lot of Christians are deluded into thinking that everything is going to be hunky-dory just because they're saved, and that is not the case. Lost people would change their tack. Christian people, for some strange reason, don't seem to. Anyway, as far as spiritual food, when the Lord was tempted of the devil, he told him, just like you eat bread every day, you should consider God every day. And we already covered that. Whenever he was feeding the thousands twice, and it's no big deal for God to feed 5,000 and the 4,000, because he fed the hundreds of thousands for 40 years in the desert. When we're talking about the wheat, the 7 baskets that were left over after this one instance of God feeding thousands of people, I got to liken on that about meeting on the first day of the week to worship and to praise and to fellowship and to preach and to teach. And from that sitting, that's enough to form a foundation for the rest of the week. Just like spending a bit of time looking after yourself, body and soul, first thing in the morning is a good way to start the day. Years ago, it would have been a day of rest, a day set aside from the hustle and the bustle of the world, that you could go to church, that you could worship, that you could praise. Friends, the Lord's Day is not a family day. The Lord's Day is a family day with the Lord. It's supposed to be a day of physical rest and spiritual recharge. But we're not talking about food. We're not talking about just having a Sunday dinner and not eating for the rest of the week. I still like to eat every day in the week, multiple times in the day. Why should we not feed our minds as well with the Word of God? It should not be a case for the Christian that they're dying to get out of church and take off their shirt and tie and jacket and to all intents and purposes, you wouldn't be able to tell that they were God's children at all. It should not be a chore, nor should it be of a necessity that you do it with your grinding your teeth, but sometimes you have to. It is a very real necessity. It will enable you day by day, each day in the week, to keep a level head when everybody else is losing theirs. And yes, I've said that's what it does. How do I get that? Well, by having a read at the Bible yourself. That's good to know. That's like getting a quick recharge on your phone, maybe for 5 or 10 minutes. But how's about just putting a brand spanking new battery into your phone and having it completely charged? Why not memorize a single verse of scripture? Why not spend some very real time in prayer? Why not lift up your voice and make as joyful a noise as you can? Why not give tithes and offerings? Why not fellowship? Why not just go out of your way to mark your week, to show your respect for the God that saved your soul? And I think we can see from the many that aren't here that respect is just not as in evidence as it used to be. What about the 12 baskets? Well, we need the Lord every day, just about our daily lives, but you know, there's things that happen during the year. It's not just for Easter and Christmas. Everybody meets, you know, Easter Day and Christmas Day, I think it's about the 2 days that pretty much everything closes in, at least in Northern Ireland. And everybody nominally is semi-religious, or used to be. And I now know that it's just for chocolate eggs and toys. I didn't know that. It has taken me many years to discover that. I used to think it was about God and marking great events that took place in Christian history. But there's other things that go on in a year. There could be the starting of a new school. There could be the going away on holidays. There could be a time to revise for exams. There could be a wedding that has been specially set aside for a summertime. The farmers, they sow in the spring and they reap in the autumn. And then they have to pull weeds and stuff in the summer. There's us looking forward to the warmer weather, or maybe enjoying the autumn or even the snow. There's lots of different seasonal things. But with each and every one of them, there's a time and a need for God too. God doesn't get thrown out just because your schedule changes. Or at least he shouldn't. You're doing yourself a disservice if it happens. Now, we've already mentioned that being a Christian doesn't stop, and you can't even check the clock when the clock hits 12:30 on a Sunday morning, or when you hang your jacket up. If you were able to stop being a Christian whenever you left the doors of this very well renovated, painted and redecorated church hall, if you were able to stop being a Christian whenever you stepped out of this hall, what would happen to you if you had a car accident and were killed outside of the church hall when you weren't a Christian? And surely that would mean that you wouldn't go to heaven. What would happen if the rapture occurred on Monday when you weren't being a Christian? Does that mean that the Lord wouldn't take you up to heaven with him? You know, that's foolish. But a lot of Christians live their lives very foolishly. I would hate for that to happen to someone. I know it can't. But bear that in mind as you live your Christian life, and just let God into all the wee nooks and crannies. Ask him for his wisdom. Like, he has had untold eons of experience, and he's left the history of it, of our little bit of time in this world, in his word. Ask him, Lord, is there anything else that I could be doing? Could I be doing something better? As I was having a wee think at this, because I don't know about you, but I don't like to waste time. When I'm wasting time, I'll waste time. But whenever I'm doing stuff, I like to try and get two or three things going at the one time. I know my wife does as well. It seems like you're cheating. You're playing on God mode. I don't know if you've ever come across God mode. That's a mode in video games where you don't take any harm, and you can deal out huge amounts of damage, and you're pretty much unstoppable. Remember the Lord as he walked through his homeland, as he uttered those very gracious words, soul-saving and even life-saving words, as he touched people's lives, as he raised them from the dead, and most importantly, as he shared the gospel, he always seemed to have the right words. And he always seemed to be in the right place. And he was always talking to the right person, and it always made a huge difference. And you might say, well, that's because he's God Almighty. And he is. And he knows everything, and he is everywhere, and he can do anything, and yes, he can. But friends, he has given each one of his children a third part of the Godhead. He has allowed for us to spend time with him in this world in the form of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And we can have a measure of right time, right place, right clothes, right words, and right heart too, when we let God into more of our lives. And this time with the Savior, it confers certain advantages, a God mode, if you like, that the world doesn't have. And whilst it offers them, it can't deliver. Walking with the Lord, taking your eyes off of the world, means you're not going to be as afraid of everything. I can guarantee you there are people already lining up to get monkeypox injections. Be careful. It gives peace. Because we're not looking to the world for peace, because the roots change so quickly, how do you even keep up with them? But it gives comfort. And that comfort's not in knowing that you have a 4 foot of brick wall between you and the outside world, but that knowing if something should happen to you in this world, that you will open your eyes in God's kingdom. Walking with the Lord will confer to you a certain portion of God's wisdom. In other words, doing things God's way instead of the world's way. And just see the amount of drama and the amount of bother that you do not have anymore whenever you do things God's way. Strength to stand up and say, I don't care what way everybody else is going, I'm going God's way. Or what was it Joshua said in Joshua 24? Choose this day whom you will serve. The gods of the people of the land in which you dwell, or the gods of your fathers on the far side of the flood. Just choose. But whichever one you choose, he said, as for me and my house, I will serve the Lord. And there is certain strength and character and respect to be had, even the respect of an enemy. There's victory as well. You know the number of things people get themselves wrapped up into that a Christian never has to worry about. A Christian that loves the Lord, you don't have to worry about having an affair with you. You don't have to worry about being caught for a shoplifting or for murder or things like that whenever you're walking and talking with the Lord. You don't have to worry about getting over a drug dependency or an alcohol dependency or a nicotine dependency, because a child of the Lord walking with God will find they don't actually need these things. And more importantly, you will have the right direction, the straight and narrow road to walk on. Because unless you somewhere can pick up a schedule that has marked on it every single troubled time that you're ever going to face, every single one that will come your way, and I know there isn't one out there, and if there is, I'd like a copy. Text it to me on the phone. Friends, it just pays to walk and talk with the Lord. Not just on a Sunday or a Saturday night, but every day of every week of every month of every year. Get a bit of practice in for whenever we see him face to face. Get another little bit of practice in for whenever we have or taken part in the 1,000-year reign of God on the face of this world. But it pays to walk with God all the time. It's not as big a deal. It's not as hard on the Christian as people would have you believe. It is feasible, and it's possible, but not only that, it's the natural state of man to walk and talk with God. Why would you not do it? Stop him there. Thank you for your good time. God bless you. I'll take a hymn book and sing a song. The big ones now, this time around. Find that one, 240. Big hymn books, 240, The Lily of the Valley. Let's stand as we sing. loving Heavenly Father, thank you again for this little bit of time. Bless us and watch over us as we part company. Thank you, Lord, for sparing us for another day. And I pray, Lord, that you would go before us and that we would have the good sense to put our feet in your footprints, Lord. We love you and praise you. And we ask all of these things in private prayer requests as well. That for the peace of Israel, for souls to be saved, in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. Folks, we're dismissed. God bless you. Shake hands and fellowship for a little while.